Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all you freaks out there. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And welcome to Freaksember, which I know is a bit of a stretch, but I mean, it makes Freaksgiving. We have Freaksmas coming up, and was it Freakica for Hanukkah? Freaksa for Kwanzaa? You know, we can add the word freak to pretty much anything. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving.
Friendsgiving.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. We had a good one. We ate too much. I think I have had enough turkey to last me until next year.
That's
I'm turkeyed out.
You'll get turkey lunch meat next week.
Well, it's not the same. I mean, like Thanksgiving turkey. I mean, I'll get some of that maple turkey from Walmart any day of the year. That's good. And actually, I've got leftover turkey at your mom's house and put on a sandwich. So that's kind of, so, you know, so maybe I just told a fib. I am not out of turkey yet. But I am definitely, my dog here whining, and I don't know why.
Part of the show.
Oh, well, come on up here. He's already been taken out, so I don't know what he wants. He's not my dog.
You're a liar.
I mean, he acts like he's my dog, but he's not my dog. I would. Oh, man, he's just too cute. So anyways, hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Sorry, I got distracted by the dog whining for no reason. and Angie's eating some pecan pie in the kitchen. Today's just been a weird day. I've never felt like one of those days we just don't feel like doing anything. That's my day today.
I will tell you, it was one of the mundiest Mondays I've ever Mondayed.
It's gray. It's cold and gray here. It's a Monday. It's like I have a sink full of dishes I know I need to get done. I have laundry I know I need to get folded. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to do it. I'm so unmotivated, but I am motivated for the show. I'm excited about the show. I just got Amanda Lewis from, I guess, Scar Encounters, S-K-A-R, Scar Encounters. She's calling in. But before we get to her, I got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. This weekend, I'm going to be at the cabin. We have an event out there, our annual, that's weird, TV is cut on for no reason.
Never done that before.
I know, right? So we have our annual toy drive at the cabin on 360 this weekend. If you're in the vicinity and you want to come investigate with us, just bring a toy worth $20 or more out to the cabin, and you can come check out one of the probably one of the most active places I know it's one of the most active places I've ever been to. But, obviously I'm going to say that because I run the place. But if you go on our Facebook page, you can see there are a lot of people who have come out there and have been let's say satisfied with the results of their investigations.
Satisfied.
I had this one guy message me I think it was Saturday or something, and told me he wants to take his girlfriend, or his fiance, out there for their honeymoon. So, I mean, we're now a honeymoon destination.
Are you
guys
kidding, right?
No, we're serious. People want to come to the cabin for their honeymoon. We've had people get married at the cabin.
We've had a person.
Well, two people. One person did not get married, so two people got married at the cabin. And so one of this guy messaged me and said, I'm taking my girlfriend, my fiance, out there for the honeymoon. I can't even speak anymore. Man, we better get some activity. I'm like, we can't guarantee you ghosts, but I can guarantee it's haunted because it is. So haunted, so very haunted. And you know what else knows about haunted places?
Who?
Amanda Lewis.
No way.
Amanda Lewis knows all about haunted places. I think we should talk to her about haunted places. What do you think?
Yeah, do it.
Let's ask the audience. What do you think? Woo! Yeah, let's do it, Amanda. Yeah, woohoo. All right. I think you're going to listen to the audience. All right, let's go. Let's put her on. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Sorry for making
me?
You wait there. I'm going to hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
No, you're fine. No worries. It's all good.
So I was talking to you earlier about the time diff. Are you in Indiana?
Yeah, Fort Wayne, Indiana is where I'm located at.
Oh, wow. Cause I had no idea that Indiana was in the Eastern time zone. I thought it would be like Midwest time zone or something.
Yeah. Yep, you guys basically have the same exact time. And what city and state are you guys at?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I'm at your old stomping grounds. If you're from Norfolk, right?
Oh. I was born in Norfolk, Virginia when my dad was in the Navy. They moved, I think, into Illinois pretty much when I was still kind of a baby. And then for whatever reason, my parents decided to move to Fort Wayne, Indiana. So I've been here ever since.
So what is there to do in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
There honestly is not much. Anytime I've, met anybody that has, lived states away or even in all these awesome, just gorgeous states and yet managed to be here, I'm always asking them, why in the world did they come here? Because besides cornfields, there's really not that much going on. I mean, they at least rated our city actually to be one of the most affordable places to live. I guess I can kind of see some truth to that. But, aside from that, from this state in particular, I mean, we have a lot of history in within our actual city downtown, which right now, actually, me and the co-founder, my boyfriend Scott, our goal has been to basically just go through downtown, you know, some of these like restaurants, and just sit down, try their food out, casually talk to their waiters and waitresses about the paranormal, kind of, you know, just strike a conversation, see if like anything is going on there, and then hand our business cards out.
That sounds like a good making for like a good YouTube show where you just take a camera and you go talk to the local people about paranormal stuff.
You know, it's cool though. We've had it happen so far, which is a huge reason why I recently got business cards made for us, because before I had them made, we actually went to this restaurant downtown a couple of weeks back. It was our first time going there. It's in an older building. You know, we just kind of went in there to try their food. We happened to just talk to the waitress there, and somehow we brought up, you know, the history of the area, and we kind of told her, you know, what we do. And she said, oh, that's awesome. And she actually said that their restaurant used to be a slaughterhouse, and that she's heard stories that there's been paranormal stuff that has gone on in their building. So at this point, we're going to try to kind of keep in touch with them and see if we can kind of coordinate something. And, you know, I think it's a great way to try to get our names out there, because honestly, with the way things are in Fort Wayne, I don't feel like the paranormal field is really put out there much.
Well, it's amazing.
I feel like it's one of those taboo topics.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Not as much as it used to be, but when you start, it's amazing how people open up to the idea or start talking. Like, once you bring it up, they'll start talking about it. You know,
oh,
but
yeah.
nobody ever wants to be the first one to bring it up. They're like, oh, I don't sound weird, but yeah, something happened the other day that really freaked me out. But you just got to give them the opportunity to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I feel like ever since I've been on a paranormal team, you know, and I've met people that don't even know me, the moment I've brought it up, they like are actually fascinated by it, and they ask questions. They tell me things they've experienced. I've never crossed anybody so far that has just kind of like, you know, given me a dirty look or a weird look or judged any of it. They seem kind of intrigued to know more. In fact, I recently ended up getting a new job, and the funny part is I brought up in my interview, I kind of gave them the heads up, because, you know, with new jobs, they'll check your social media. So I just kind of gave them the heads up and said, hey, I don't know if you guys checked my Facebook or not. I'm just going to give you guys a heads up. If you see a lot of paranormal stuff, it's because I'm on a paranormal team. And it's like the moment I said it, we were sitting there for a good amount of time talking about the paranormal field, and it was awesome. And I got the job on top of that. That's like amazing to have a good conversation about the paranormal with these people that don't even know me. And then for them to like me enough for me to now have a job there.
See, the paranormal could bring people together, can get people
jobs.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
That's the magic of the paranormal.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot, you know, like you said earlier, people want to talk about it. People, you know, especially if it happens to them, they're itching to talk about it. But they don't want to tell their friends, but they don't want their friends to think they're freaks. So if you, once they get that opening, you're like, oh, they, you know, they just spew it out.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, I for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people do feel like, you know, they might get judged or, you know, have somebody laugh at them if, you know, they bring up the topic. And then when they find people that actually, like, do it, like, on the side of, like, their actual jobs, you know, it's like it just changes their whole outlook and makes them really just start opening up and talking about it. In fact, a couple of hours after I had my interview – with my now new job, when they called me to offer me the position there, I actually was on a three-way conversation on the phone with two of the girls from the office, and we were on the phone for over 2 hours, and a lot of it was about the paranormal. So it was pretty amazing to, like, just literally meet these people and them to actually, like, want to talk about the paranormal for so long with me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, we've had long conversations about the paranormal because there's so much you don't know, and there's so much you're learning every time you go out. It's like a constant
thing.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Yeah, and it's always interesting, too. What's that? I'm sorry.
I was gonna, you know, take you back to the beginning of your paranormal life. How did you get into this crazy paranormal world?
So, it's crazy. I feel like I've kind of been like most people, where, you know, just kind of growing up, I always watched, you know, like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, like Scariest Places on Earth, you know, basically any show about
shows,
the paranormal.
Yeah.
Like, I was always into watching that. I remember me and my mom, like, would always stay up watching those shows together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always fascinated me. And I always, whenever I'd watch those shows, I kind of think to myself, that'd be awesome if I could just do what they're doing and, like, see how accurate or inaccurate it is, you know, because, yeah, we all know they kind of amp things up on the show, you know, to get viewers.
What?
No way.
No,
that's all real.
So it's one of those things where it's like, well, I want to experience that for myself one day and see how it really is and, you know, kind of seek the truth out, get my own personal experiences. I know I haven't actually physically, like, seen a spirit or anything. I have not yet still been in that position. I know I kind of grew up in a house where I would always hear what sounded like almost like, you know, an animal that was kind of running across the crawl space. And it was always below my bedroom. And nobody else in my family ever heard it. It was only ever me. And so they just all thought I was crazy. And there was one day my brother was in my room with me, and he heard it. And he just looks at me and he goes, "Is that the noise you've been talking about?" And I said, "Yeah." My dad actually went into that crawl space to check and see if there was, like, any openings for any animals to have been in there, you know, any, like, droppings from animals, you know, trails of their feet. He went down there and there was absolutely nothing, no entrance or exit for animals. There's nothing but cobwebs. There was no nothing, no evidence. And I would say probably no more than about a week or two after he had just been down there, I heard the noise again below my room. And I know my mom and my brother experienced paranormal stuff in that house. My mom actually, she left her foot kind of dangling outside of her bed, and she felt like a cold hand just kind of like squeeze her foot. And my brother also heard somebody whisper his name when he fell asleep, and nobody was there when he opened up his eyes. And I think he's seen even like an apparition of a woman coming out of his closet one night. I got a lot of weird vibes about that house, and I never really put too much thought into it until, you know, more and more I got fascinated into the field. I just kind of thought more about it and was like, you know, I really do think that house is haunted. And so,
yeah, upon further review.
Yeah, like, so I don't know. It's crazy. I went all these years not really going out there and, like, buying equipment or even thinking about going onto a team up until April of this year. That's actually when I got the team together in the first place. Our first place we investigated at was the Kosciuszko County Jail. And it was the original members all on the team. That's how we came up with the name Scar in the first place, is just like the first letter of each of our names. So there's Scott, Kelly, Amanda, and then Ricky. But now we don't have Kelly and Ricky on the team. But it's one of those things where we've already gone so far into what we've been doing, and our name has gotten out there so much that I would not want to change the name at this point, because I feel like everybody like knows us by our name. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if I changed it, it was, I feel like it'd throw people off. So I've just decided to keep it, even with the founders, you know, us, me and Scott just being on it, and not, you know, Kelly and Ricky. We're just keeping it where it's at. But really, you know, when we first got started, it's just, what's that?
I said, Scar is a pretty good name for a team regardless. And you could even say it.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it too. And I'm actually, I got a college buddy of mine. She's really good at like making logos. She's actually in the works of kind of sketching together a logo for us, because I'm going to start like actually getting hoodies and more shirts made. And I actually want to get like a logo design with it. And I'm pretty excited about the idea of what's going to come out. I think that the idea of it is going to go very well with the name, to where we're trying to kind of, you know, we're trying to pull it away from what it originally was supposed to be. So I'm kind of trying to incorporate something with like a scar, you know, on somebody's face type of thing with the logo.
Yeah.
It's a whole different concept, but I like the idea that I have. And I think that when people start to see the logo, they'll start to think more of that way of, okay, that's Scar Encounters then.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm grateful either way, you know, even without those members being on our team. You know, they still are, you know, good friends of ours. At least one of them is. But there's no hard feelings with, you know, one of the other ones that's no longer on the team with us. You know, when we first started, it was just, it was exciting. We all just decided to go, and I know our former member Ricky has been on other paranormal teams, so, you know, he kind of wanted us to experience what he was doing, since we were kind of intrigued about it. And so, you know, pretty much after that night, we just enjoyed it so much, and we captured pretty good evidence when we were there. And so that's where I just kind of decided to start making it a thing. And we just kind of skyrocketed from there. So, I couldn't even tell you at this point how many different places we've went to so far. It's not been like a lot, but it's been a pretty good amount for just being a team since April.
All around Indiana? Like, is Indiana like a really haunted place? I have no idea.
Well, honestly, we've traveled to different states besides our place. Like, actually, a couple of weekends ago, we got back from New York. We went to Fort William Henry. Ghost Hunters have been there. I'm not sure if you guys seen one of their older episodes. We actually went there with two other paranormal teams that were from New York. And, man, it was an 11-hour drive, but we sucked it up. And, you know, we got a hotel there. And, you know, it was great. It was just – it was really cold and wet and uncomfortable. At some point in the night, it was just really hard to investigate with the way that the weather was, but I really would love to go back there at some point when the weather's a lot better than what we had to deal with. But I mean, honestly, I feel like we've been to a lot more places in Michigan than we have even in Indiana.
Michigan
has so many different places to go to. And, Yeah, we've been to, I know, have you guys heard of the Willis House Inn? Not sure if you guys heard of that one. I know Nick Groff was there not too long ago. That was a place he kind of checked out. And yeah, there's a couple different teams that have gone through. What's that?
How did you like it out there? Did you guys get any good evidence out there?
Honestly, it was a very quiet night for us there, unfortunately. But I'm sure you guys know how that is.
Too well.
You know, yeah, it's definitely, it's not exciting to go hours, you know, asking questions and trying to hope that you get something. Like, most people would think that, oh my God, that's like boring. You're traveling hours to sit in the dark and capture evidence. But I mean, we've kind of learned, you know, to kind of look at the positives, despite if we go places and don't capture anything, because the way that I see it is, hey, I got to travel and experience like the history and the beauty of a lot of these places. And I can actually say that I've been there, even if I haven't caught much there, because there are going to be plenty of places
about
like
the
that. We went to, what's that?
It's about the adventure, going out and experiencing new places.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. I've definitely tried to look at it that way. I know another example of one of our first couple of places we investigated was Prospect Place Estate in Ohio. It's a gorgeous mansion. I thought you were about to say something.
I've heard of that one. I saw that back in the day. I think Ghost Adventures went out there.
Yep.
A few
they
years
did.
Ago.
Yeah, I know it was an older season where they went to that one.
Mm-hmm.
We had some things here and there, not like major activity. If anything, I was just more in awe of like the mansion itself. It's gigantic and it's just gorgeous and there's so much history there. And you know, like that's where I started to kind of realize, you know, I really just like doing this stuff even if I'm not catching anything, because we know that's going to be a given. And I know the first couple of times when we would go to these places and not capture much, Scott, you know, the co-founder, he would have his moments mm-hmm. where he'd feel disappointed and, you know, feel like we wasted our time and this and that. And I, you know, I think I've helped change his mindset and make him realize, you know, yeah, we're spending the money to do this and get the equipment and all of that, but you can at least say that you've been there and that, you know, you've had this great experience to begin with, and I think it's definitely helped a lot. One thing, too.
You look at it this way. When you go out fishing or something like that, you buy the equipment, you get all the stuff, the bait, put the worm on the hook or whatever, put it in the water. It doesn't mean you're going to get a fish every time you go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that, you know, it's about the time you have, the camaraderie you make, and like you said, enjoying time together. Because I mean,
yeah.
If you're just going for evidence, then you're going to be disappointed more often than not when it comes to, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I know it's probably a little bit more tough for him too, because one thing that's funny that kind of sets us apart from, you know, a lot of teams is how very different a lot of us are. I'm not religious and I'm empathic, and I went from slightly skeptic to opening up more and using my abilities more, and I am more open to the spiritual aspect of things. Meanwhile, Scott, he is religious, but he's completely skeptic. We could have the REM pod going yeah. off like crazy, and he will still sit there and be like, this isn't good enough for me. So that, and you got to take in, we have a psychic medium on our team on top of that. She's on other paranormal teams aside from ours. She's a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. She's amazing, and she's definitely made me go from being skeptical of mediums to really believing they can be the real deal after we've done investigations with her, because there's just so much stuff that she's picked up on that there's no way she would have known. So it's really great to have her as an asset, you know, on our team as well. And, you know, we have Richard on our team. He's one of our newer guys. He's been on the team for a couple short months. He's religious as well, and he very much so believes in the paranormal. He's had experiences himself. He looks like a kid going into a candy store when he goes places with us, and I love it. I love being able to have people on our team that share that dedication and passion, because I feel like that's a very big deal. You know, if you are going to have a team, you know, by the end of the day, the financial stuff doesn't even matter to me. I could care less to have somebody on my team that is paying for equipment or a rental car to take us on trips. I care about somebody that, yeah, they can help with that, but I want somebody that is passionate and I can tell.
You want to be there?
Yeah, that they want to do this, and it's not just like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm just in it for the ride and then be done with it type of
yeah.
thing.
I mean, it's not, you're not making money off of this.
No one's mm-hmm. getting rich goes platinum.
Yeah, before. So, I mean, I guess some people are, but not.
Yeah.
Most people aren't. I mean, so you gotta love it. Do you remember your first piece of evidence that you captured? Like first EVP
yeah,
that
actually,
made you
crash. Yeah, I would say, well, one thing that's pretty cool is even though here in Fort Wayne, we don't have like very many places, you know, for teams to really go to, we did actually, one of mm-hmm. our first couple of investigations we've done was at Three Rivers Distilling Company, downtown Fort Wayne. We investigated there before, and we caught actually quite a bit there, and I didn't expect that at all. And they like us enough to where around Halloween time, they contacted us and asked if we could host a ghost event, because they had people there that wanted to do a little ghost tour with us. So we did it. It helped get our name out there, you know. We let people use our equipment and just kind of, you know, walk around the buildings and, you know, test out the equipment and show them what to do. And, you know, we showed them what we've caught there before. So I feel like we've gotten close with the management there. We still go there to eat sometimes. And if me and Scott walk in, they're just like, oh, look, it's Carr. So, I think it's awesome. What's that?
Do you have a big crowd out there for your event?
I'd say when it started off, there's probably at least 10 people that showed up, maybe 8 or 10. I know it kind of decreased the later it got in the night. But some people actually stayed there until about 3 a.m. with us. So I was pretty amazed that they actually stayed out that late. But I mean, my first piece of evidence that I got when we went there, I actually have it on our website. So if you just go to the scarencounters.com, I have the photos and videos tab. It shows like a lot of these places that we've investigated and it'll just have like simple photos. And then I try to at least put one piece of evidence below the photos to kind of show, hey, you know, this is what we caught. When we went there,
do you ever do like private cases or mostly public?
We do residential as well. I think by now, I might be losing count, but I think we so far have only maybe done about four at most residential ones. And we're very open to doing that. I know a lot of that, Carrie's big on doing that. And it's a lot easier since she, you know, has her abilities and she also knows how to help spirits cross over or, you know, just in general, she helps out a lot with those type of cases, you know, especially when we kind of do quick walkthroughs in people's homes to see if there's anything alarming, to have the residents be aware of. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we just word of ear, you know, that just kind of get our name out there with other people and then they end up hearing about us. And, I do find that a lot of people, I feel like since it's, you can't really blame them if it's not one thing of them feeling weird to talk about the paranormal to people, it's another thing having strangers come into your home and investigate, you know? So,
well, I'm sure most of the time when teens get called in, it's the last resort. They're like, I have no other way, no other means of getting rid of what I need to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know? They try every other avenue to try to get rid of their problem, but nothing works, so.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, honestly, like the first couple of ones that we had, it was people that were just, like, on my friends list, and they realized what I do, and they just kind of messaged me and said, hey, I've been having this happening to me. And, you know, they kind of wanted us to help them out, try to get some answers, you know, which I feel we definitely did. And, I mean, it's awesome to do. I definitely enjoy being able to help people. And, you know, of course, you know, my big thing is I like the adrenaline of going to haunted locations and getting my own personal experiences, you know. Even if it's not something we actually caught on camera on EVP, of course, that's awesome. Just, you know, to have the experience myself is pretty awesome. I know we're still in a work in progress. We have a YouTube channel, but we've been working on just getting, like, better lighting because we actually do want to put, you know, like, episode-length videos out there for people to be able to start watching us when we go to these places. I know that's one that I really want to be able to do because next April we are going to Madison Seminary. And if you guys are on our page, I share it quite frequently because we actually are doing a drawing where we're going to pull out of just like a paper bag, like two names where we're going to pay for those people to go with us and investigate with us. So
well, that's
another opportunity
out there.
Cool. It's like, it makes me excited to do that just because, like, I think it's just an awesome thought to have people, especially people that haven't even done this before, if they want to, you know, just have that experience, even if they just do it once, like, to give them that opportunity, like, I'm just excited to even do that for people. So I'm trying to start making that as kind of like a thing. I mean, not every single place we go to, but when we have, you know, exciting places, I definitely want to start doing that more. You know, of course, we're not made of money, so it's not like we're paying for their trip expenses and hotel fees and all that. So whenever we've had people, you know, enter the drawing, I just make sure to give them the heads up, hey, we're paying for your entry, but, you know, travel expenses would be on your end. And it's amazing. We've gotten people like so many states away wanting to go in the drawing. I've had somebody from like Las Vegas, Nevada wanting to go in the drawing, and she was fully aware of the distance and the pay and thought, okay. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really hoping for places like that and the Monroe House. We're also going next April. So we're actually going to two places in 1 month that I've never been to that are supposed to be super active. So I'm excited about it.
That sounds very exciting. What's What's been your favorite place to investigate so far?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. You know, I guess as far as not only just, like, the history, but the actual, like, evidence that I was witnessing that we have actually recorded, but Scott really needs to get on it and actually post it. when we were at Fort William Henry, we had so many different things going on there. With our friends, Dawn and Jason from Beyond the Grave Paranormal, Dawn, she kept getting jabbed in the, you know, her rib area. And there was an area near one of the buildings. I think it was the West Barracks area, these stairs, the lower level. I felt very uncomfortable in that area. I did not feel that way or anywhere else but that spot. And if you actually, it's on our page and on our website, but you can actually find a picture that we had posted that somebody had taken during the ghost tour during the day before we even investigated. She took a picture of the stairs, and the first shot, absolutely nothing there, just the wooden stairs. Second picture is a really strong white manifestation. It looks like a pole, practically, because it's so white and tall. It's probably the most amazing evidence that I've seen as far as, like, pictures go with how strong of a manifestation it was. So if you guys ever go on there, I would definitely check that out because I thought, oh my God, we didn't even take that. So, of course, we give full credit to the girl that gave us that picture because she – you know, when she took it, I believe it was Scott. He happened to be walking in that area, and she just was excited and showed him. And he's like, we're on a paranormal team. Do you mind if we put this on our page? And she's like, sure. And, I mean, just we have these paranormal balls, which you can actually purchase them on Shanley Hotel's website because Donna and Jason actually originally had them, and we liked them so much we wanted to get our own, so we did. They're very cheap. I think they're only like $10 or something.
You say paranormal
balls? I like them because, yeah, it's like they're like these little clear, like flashy light up balls. Like you click this little button that turns it on, and it will not light up unless if something touches it. It's not easily activated either, which is what I like. I don't feel like it's one of those tacky pieces of equipment that just goes off so easily. We actually had those going off in the dungeon area, and I mean, history wise with this place, you know, during this war there was, it was the French against the British and the Native Americans.
Was it French and Indian War?
Yep. So what amazed us is Scott ended up bringing one of his army buddies when he was still in the army. He's part Mohawk. Yeah. So he's very Native American and he also can speak Mohawk, which one of the tribes during that war were Mohawk. And he wanted to be like our guest. So we took him there, and it amazed me so much because when we were all in the dungeon, we had these balls kind of, you know, kind of below the stairwell area, and nobody was even standing remotely close to them or anything. And anytime he was speaking Mohawk, these balls were going off. And then anytime any of us were just speaking regular English, nothing. It didn't respond at all. No balls, nothing was lighting up. It was like they just didn't want anything to do with us, but he was triggering them when he was talking to them. And, you know, we caught an EVP when him and Richard were up at the top of the barracks sitting there. They were kind of, maybe they shouldn't have been, but they were kind of taunting the spirits. And there's a spirit there that, yeah, there's a spirit there that they say, I think it was a British soldier, he lost his leg, and so they say that you can hear him walking around the barracks sometimes where it sounds like, you know, his legs kind of just stumping along as he's walking. And,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of took that story and went with it, and they were cracking jokes. And so they were saying stuff like, why don't you come hop on over here? And, you know, they're just saying all these taunting things. And to my amazement, I forget what Richard had asked, but right after he asked a certain question, you actually could hear something walking really close near them. And right afterwards, they were just like, did you just hear that? And it sounds exactly like somebody that has like a wooden peg leg just walking, because it's a completely different sound than somebody walking with just like shoes. And so I thought that was pretty compelling. And I know there's a certain area in that building too. Me and Scott were kind of doing burst sessions, asking different questions. Mm-hmm. And there was at one point where, you know, I had asked, you know, what's your name? And very vaguely on this recording, when we played it back, you could hear something respond, and they said two words. Maybe possibly they were trying to say their first and last name. Whatever it was, mm-hmm. it didn't sound like it was English, which makes sense, because I feel like it might have been somebody speaking French. And I don't know how you guys feel about like spirit boxes and phasma boxes and all that. Do you guys base that off evidence?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather use that as evidence more than like a K2 meter. At least I'm hearing something. I mean,
yeah.
if the voice that comes through is clear and it you know, has something to do with what we're talking about, then yeah, I'll definitely use it as evidence.
Oh yeah.
What's your favorite piece of equipment to use?
What's
when you
that?
Investigate. What's your favorite piece of equipment to use when you investigate?
My favorite, honestly, I don't know how often people actually say it, but I like using just my basic, I have a Sony EVP recorder. Don't ask me what particular model, I'm terrible with remembering that stuff, but it was rated as one of the most, like the top five EVP recorders to get. So I just bought it. It's like $40. I rely on that thing as my evidence against literally anything. It's such a good recorder that picks up so much, and I've gotten stuff from it. So, I mean, aside from just using that with like my earbuds.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Yeah, I love good EVP. That's
yeah.
Voice recorder.
I feel like that is definitely the most authentic evidence
mm-hmm.
you can ever get, besides, you know, just something on camera, of course.
I mean,
because I'm when you use spirit boxes and phasma boxes, it can, even for more so like entertainment type of purposes, it's sometimes, you know, if you get lucky enough, you might actually get something good from it. You know, if it's a full sentence or something that goes along with what you were asking. Like when we were at the fort, we were actually using a phasma box, and it sounded like words were coming through that were not in English. They sounded like maybe they were French. And so after we had that experience, you know, that's when we decided to download the phasma box on our laptop, because it was actually our friend's laptop where they were using it. Excuse me. But
wow.
Yeah, I would definitely say the EVP recorder. And I think,
you know,
since go ahead.
We talk about the spirit box. We did a spirit box session at the cabin on 360 one night.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when we first started investigating out there, and we had gone outside to smoke a cigarette while my friends were smoking. I was out just drinking a beer or whatever. Come back inside. I know, right? Come back inside, and their people are freaking out. They're like, you got to hear what it just said. Pretty much, we got a voice. Have it on YouTube. A voice came through the spirit box. Complete sentence says, I killed her. And then two more voices came through saying that bitch was dirty, that bitch was horny, or something like that.
Clear oh, my day. God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. I think you and I talked about it a couple months ago. You had mentioned this place to me. And I don't think I looked up the distance, but I kept thinking, man, if that's not too, too far, I might actually consider having us take a trip over there.
Well, it's in Virginia. I don't know how far Virginia is from you, but I'm guaranteed it's probably closer than New York is, but I don't know. Like,
yeah, you know
like
what?
Highways and stuff.
It kind of surprises me because we are actually looking into getting into Sweet Spring Sanitarium. You know, where Destination Fear had went to on one of their newer episodes. There's just, after watching that episode, there's so much going on there. I really want to get into that place. But I imagine after that show, they're probably booking very quickly. But, I mean, that's in West Virginia. And when I looked at our distance from there, it was like maybe 6.5 hours away. I was super shocked. For some reason, I thought it was going to be way longer than that.
Well, you're 9 hours from where we are. I did from Fort Wayne, it takes 9 hours to get to. And
about 9 hours, okay.
Not
as much as New York.
Exactly. You drove 11 hours to get to New York, so we saved
about
2 hours. Hmm.
Oh, yeah, we definitely got a bucket list of places that we want to be able to go to. I know a big one that I'd like to go to that it's fascinated me ever since I first watched an episode on it back, you know, as a teenager, but the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely one of my bucket list locations. And speaking of bucket list locations, can you give us your top three, like, paranormal bucket list locations that say money is not an issue and you can go wherever you want to go? What are your top three
locations? Oh, man. Oh, let me whip out my bucket list book. I literally have a book, by the way. Some people might think I'm crazy, but I actually bought a book and I have listed every place that I want to go to and details as far as how much it costs and everything. Oh, yeah. I'm going
to
fill this baby up one day. Let's see. Pennhurst Asylum. Yeah, it's not super expensive either. It's like $100 per person for up to like 20 people. I definitely want to go there. I think that's one of my top ones.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State Reformatory, of course. I know that one is it's so expensive, which is what sucks. Like, you can go there, you know, within groups or like publicly, where it's not nearly as much.
Yeah.
But if you want, like, a private, like, just you and your team there, it's literally $2,400 to go.
A lot of those places, man. The thing is, you pay the money to go, and you paid, like, $2,000, and then you really, like you said earlier, you're going for the experience. Because you go,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get evidence, and that's all you're looking for, is you're going to be really pissed. But it's all about, you know, I've been to this place more than, probably more than getting actual evidence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our medium, Carrie, she's been to a lot of these places already, and she's seen the spirits. She's experienced them, like, pulling her hair and touching her, so she knows what places are good ones. I know a big one that she's always talked really good about, which is definitely on my list, Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
That one,
good
I...
One. Guys, those are pretty good locations.
Have you guys
the
ever
Trans
been
Allegheny,
there or had knew anybody that
check.
Went there?
No.
We know people, but you haven't been, have you?
No,
I didn't think
there.
You had.
It's definitely on my list. They're going to check out.
It says it's about $150 per person for up to 10 people, and you can go from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., which that's not a bad time frame, because I look at that stuff, too, when I, you know, kind of do my searches.
I'm just putting it out there. The cabin on 360 is $200 per team, and you get three locations, two buildings, and 7.2 acres of Civil War battlefield to investigate.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
$200. Not per person. I wish I could charge that much. But it's $200.
Right.
And you get it from 6 p.m. to 9 a.m. So.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
that's awesome. Yeah, that's the thing.
Know.
I do like the places that give you more time and even ones that – allow you to kind of try to get some sleep in before you gotta go.
yeah.
But I can understand too. If, unfortunately, if some people have ruined it, you know where.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, you're gonna see that. Unfortunately, I've seen a video of it before. I can't think of where it was, but they caught on camera a woman stealing stuff out of like a historical building that she was investigating at. People like that really
give us a bad name.
Yeah, they make us look bad, and then they also make it to, you know, why some places don't allow you to just stay the night, which I can totally get that, you know, like I'm not sure when they made that a rule, but Madison Seminary, I did read on there that they don't allow people to, like, stay overnight, you know, or sleep in there anymore. So that's going to be one of those where I guess it depends how active it is and how long we're going to stay there till. But so far from the stuff that I was watching,
what?
It seems like a pretty active place.
I mean, I can't wait to hear all about it, but I have to tell you this, but we're about out of time here. The hour went by super fast.
Oh, yeah. It really did.
So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing how we can lose track of time when you I guess, like you said, Tari, talking about the paranormal, you know, it's just you can talk for hours, and hopefully you want to come back on the show and hang out with us again.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And have maybe some more team members on next time you guys come on.
Oh yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome. I'd love to be able to have some of my other team members to be able to talk with you guys as well. And I'm sure by the time we set up another podcast up, you know, we would have already gone to some of these other places, you know, to be able to kind of tell you guys what we've experienced and kind of put that out there, what evidence we might be catching from them.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all about it. I definitely appreciate you coming on and talking to us. I love this. I was wondering how Scar Encounters got started and everything. It was great to hear those stories. And hope you guys have a great, Christmas. And, we'll definitely get in touch with you, and we'll talk to you sometime next year.
All right, awesome. Sounds great. I appreciate it. You guys have a great Christmas as well.
All right, you too.
All right, bye.
Good night.
All right.
Well, that was fun. That was a fun interview. I enjoyed that. Next, before we go, let you know that next week we have the Southern Gypsies coming on the show. That's Holly Mullins, Misty, and Ashley Connor coming on the show. So, next week will be interesting, to say the least. I always enjoy having them on the show. And it's been a while, been too long since we've had them on the show. Again, I want to thank Amanda for coming on the show and talking to us about her experiences in the paranormal. She's been to some pretty cool places, and looks like she's going to go to some pretty cool places here coming up in a few during the next year. So I'm looking forward to having her back on the show to talk to us about where she's been and you know, where she's going. So hope everyone has a good night, and we will talk to you next week. Same freaking awesome time. Same freaking awesome channel. Bye.